Good morning. Welcome and congratulations on getting up at the right time, navigating your way here through a race and closed streets, and I fully expect that others will be joining us when they realize what time it is. This morning, we have the special opportunity to celebrate our ministry to students. Our campus ministry, we have a campus ministry fellowship that meets weekly for friendship and study and prayer and support, and it's a wonderful group. And some of them helped plan this service this morning and will be leading the service, including the sermon, which I'm really excited about. Afterwards, we're going to invite you to please join us for fellowship time downstairs, where we will have a cake to celebrate them, and you can have a chance to meet and greet some of the students that you may not know. Following our time of fellowship, we will have our all-church Lenten study, which is ages 12 and up, starting in the Memorial Lounge. We're talking about what it might be like to depart the consumer culture. What could that possibly mean? And how do we chart an alternative path for ourselves as individuals and as a community of faith? We'll gather in the Memorial Lounge at 11:30 for a time of big group presentation, and then we break into small groups around noon. There are other announcements related to congregational life in your bulletin insert, and I also want to call your attention to the connection card. One of the reasons we exist as a church is to help each other connect to God and to each other and to the world. Our connection card is one piece of that effort, and I'm going to invite you to pull it out now. There are pens on your pews, and you can fill that out right this moment. You can start on the front side. You save the card for later in the service. You'll have a chance to fill out the back, and then we will place them in the offering plate at that time. Now, would you join me in our responsive call to worship? The one we have hoped for is already here. Come, let us walk together on this journey towards the cross. Lord, prepare our hearts and our spirits for worship and for faithfulness.
Thank you. Please stand for the invocation. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings you have given. Let us be content with all that we have and where you are leading us. Help us to put our full faith and trust in you and to take comfort in your almighty plan. Let us remember that there is wonderful joy ahead, and help us to spread your love wherever you may take us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To the hills, from where will my help come?
My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
God will not let your foot be moved. The one who keeps you will not slumber. God will neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade of your right hand.
The Lord will keep you from all evil. God will keep your life.
The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on.
So I've been very lucky to be able to spend some time in New Orleans over the past couple of years. And one of the great things I love about that city, which is the birthplace of jazz, America's classical music, is that it has all these different roots there. And as a lot of you probably know, one of jazz's biggest roots is from black spirituals. So when you go down there, you hear lots of hymns sung all the time, suddenly it's okay because it's jazz, right? So one of my favorite hymns that I love to play when I'm down there is just a close to walk with these. So I'll pick you guys down in a moment for a little bit.
Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and the one that curses you, I will curse. and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, in this Lenten season, we are in deep need of introspection. The world around us is boiling with turmoil, divisiveness, and hatred. It is so easy for us to be drawn in, to become slaves to the 24-hour news cycle, to feel that the events happening around us are the most important things in our lives. Help us to remember that this world is transient, but your world is eternal. And with that perspective, we must look inward. Help us to follow your word and to live with your purpose. Purge us of any enmity, arrogance, or greed. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. We pray for the very real needs of those around us, for those without enough to eat, without a warm place to sleep, without access to health care or education. We pray for our Muslim brothers and sisters, and for immigrants and refugees. We pray for those who are without hope, for those who feel left behind or worthless, for the addicted and for the sick. May all of these be made whole. We also know those among us to pray for that we must pray for by name. We pray for Ginny McKeachy, John Moyer, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Wally Jordan, Saw Charlie, Logan Sweet, Sadie, Dottie Kastler, Andrea, Thirza Katie, Bob and Barb, Kay, Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, the Jones family, John Wallace, Margaret and Andy Kalsick, Rachel, Ethan Wright, Valerie Nebbia, and David. We pray for all these and all of those in the world who need our prayers. And now, in the words that your Son Jesus taught us, we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture today comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Two are better than one, because they have good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken.
Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The word of the Lord. Now, I'd like to invite the children up for a time as children with Christina, with Marin. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marissa, for anyone I haven't met yet. There might be a couple of you. So we're going to start out with a little activity, so I need two volunteers to come up and sit with me. Okay, Emmanuel and Katarina, come on up here. Okay, so I have some, they're actually Connect Four chips, because I didn't have real blocks, but we are going to use these. So Emmanuel is going to get five black chips. And Katarina, could you actually sit over here? Just realized I'm going to have to. Perfect. Katarina's going to get five red. Okay. So the first thing I want you guys to do is, keeping your blocks to yourselves, red and black, I want you to build the tallest tower you can. Do, 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 do. And tell me when you're ready. You ready? Okay, Katarina's got hers too. Okay, so I want everyone to look at those towers, okay? Can you all see them? Okay. All right, so now you can knock those down. And now I want you to build the tallest tower you can together. The catch is you can only touch the red ones, and Emmanuel, you can only touch your black ones. All right, you guys done? Great. You even switched off so perfectly. So I'll ask our audience here, what is different about this tower compared to the other ones that they built? Alexandra. It's way taller. Anything else? Can you think of one other? Yeah? It's two colors. It's exactly what I was thinking. So Haley and Alicia just read some passages from the Bible that talk about working together. Why do you think it's important to work together? Yeah?
It's important to work together because you can accomplish anything if you have two people doing the same thing, because it can go faster and it's not that much work for one person.
That's exactly right. So working together helps you learn more. It helps you get more work done quicker. And it helps you understand and love other people better. So God wants us to work together, not just with the people that we're already friends with, but with everyone. And if we work together, we might notice that someone else has a different special talent than we have. And they might have something that they can teach you about. So Emmanuel, what's something that you like to do?
I like to play basketball.
Play basketball. What about you?
Swimming.
And then what's your favorite subject in school?
Math.
Both math. So in this tower, that red and black tower, we have some similar looking blocks, but we have the strength and the height of two different colors. We have playing basketball. We have swimming. We have math. We have the Morgan family. We have the De Silva family. We have going to church. And most of all, we have working together and being nice to other people. That's all in that tower. That tower has all of that in it. And that's all because you guys worked together, you listened, you understood the common goal, and you both gave each other the chance to contribute equally. And if you were confused, you weren't confused, but if you were, you had the other person that could help you listen and learn and understand and stay on track. So that's why working together is so important. Let's say our prayer. Dear God, thank you for giving us each special qualities and talents like math and playing basketball and swimming. Help us remember to be proud to be who we are, and help us to work together to build strong and beautiful towers with not just our friends, but with everyone. Amen.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. if you haven't seen me at any point, because I'm usually up in the choir loft, I'm Haley. I'm a fifth-year linguistics doctoral student, originally from South Carolina, and I've been going here for about 4 years now.
Hi, I'm Alicia. I'm a third-year doctoral student in linguistics, and I've been going here for about 6 months now.
When we heard it was Campus Ministry Sunday, we thought it might be fun to do a joint sermon focusing on community and specifically on friendship.
What we figured we'd do is talk a little bit about our friendship, how it developed, how we felt God's hand through the development of our friendship, and then connect it to our personal and broader experiences with faith and scripture.
I started the program here at Michigan in the fall of 2012. There were lots of ups and downs, as there are when you start a graduate program and you move to a new place. While I could find people in my program to talk about work and eventually other hobbies, I had a little bit of a harder time finding people I could talk about my faith with, especially towards the beginning. When Alicia got here, I was aware of her, obviously, because I saw her, but we didn't really talk or interact that much. I was busy with my own stuff. I was starting a research fellowship about a semester after she got here, and she, I assumed, was busy with her own stuff.
And I came to Ann Arbor the first time to interview for this program in February of 2014, and I remember talking to one of the other graduate students at the dinner that all of the potential students go to about how I had always been really involved and connected at my church. And he told me about Haley and pointed her out to me in the room and said that she had a church that she was involved in and that she liked a lot. So I went over to Haley and introduced myself and asked her about her church, but I felt like I caught her off guard and I came off really strong with my excitement. I got accepted to the program, and my husband and I moved here in the summer of 2014, immediately getting connected with a different church that had been started by mutual friends from the pastor of our church in San Diego. I started my PhD 30 weeks pregnant and really wasn't involved on campus much or with the people in the department because I was overwhelmed with figuring out how to be a mom living thousands of miles away from my family for the first time ever. I would see Haley in passing, but we never got a chance to talk or connect, and I was afraid she thought I was weird because of my abrupt church inquiry at the dinner months before. She seemed to have a close cohort in her year in the program, and I wasn't around much.
For the record, I didn't think she was super weird, but I understand the fear. So last year I spoke at Campus Ministry Sunday as well about some of the struggles I'd been going through for the past year, so at that point through most of 2015 and into 2016. My dissertation wasn't going the way I had hoped it would. Some other parts of my life weren't really going the way I thought they would either. A close friend, really the person who was my confidant here, had just moved away, and all of these things combined to send me into a pretty severe bout of depression. My connection with God has usually played a big role in getting me out of these bouts of depression in the past, but this time was a little bit more of a struggle for some reason. Still, I did a lot of praying. I also invited a lot of people to my apartment, and I also got out of my apartment a lot more. I don't remember explicitly praying for a friend, but I know I was praying for some type of help or relief, and so that's where I was at.
The first year and a half living here was probably the loneliest I've ever felt in my life. I had never lived away from home before, and I didn't know how to function without the support system I was used to. Perhaps the loneliest day was the day my son was born. My mom's flight wasn't scheduled for 2 more days because she assumed that my son would be late, but he came right on his due date. And so I suddenly realized that there was nobody to come see us at the hospital and meet our sweet new baby. My husband had to go home to let the dog out, and I was just there all by myself with nobody. And I felt like there was nobody I could call or no one to look forward to seeing. And I just imagined all the faces at home that would have been there if I would have been at home. And it was just like probably the loneliest I've ever felt. In San Diego, I was surrounded with family, friends, and community, but here it was just my husband and I. And even though we liked the people at the church we were at, I just didn't feel like I was able to connect with anyone. All the girls my age there were stay-at-home moms, and while I love them all, that was just not the reality that I was living in. I was trying to be a mom and do a PhD, and I felt like I was missing out on having close friends because I couldn't be part of their mom group. I was also conflicted because I felt like God was calling me to be more involved with the linguistics department and for those people to be my community, but I didn't know how to make that happen. I'd been praying for a change, for a way to feel more connected at school, and for a close friend. At the beginning, Or this time last year, Haley planned an Oscars party at her house for the linguistics students to come over and watch the Academy Awards. It was my first time really being able to get together with people from the department because I had taken a leave of absence the semester before that, and I hadn't gotten out much when Emmett was a newborn. I volunteered to make cupcakes for the party. All of the food was themed after the Best Picture nominations. And so I made my cupcakes, and I remember texting a picture of them to Haley, and that was the first time that we'd really communicated outside of just passing in the hallways, and I felt like we were no longer strangers at that point. Shortly after that, she had some car problems, and I offered to pick her up from the mechanic. She took me up on it and ended up coming over for dinner, too, and I was so happy to be able to help her out and was starting to feel like I had a friend here.
I honestly didn't remember that the Oscars party was kind of the thing that kicked off our friendship until Alicia mentioned it, but her cupcakes were really good. They were for Room. They had a 5 on them. If you've seen Room, then Brie Larson makes a cake with a 5 on it. So anyway, but for some reason, my brain just kind of had this, I don't know, not really a divide, but it was like 1 month we weren't really friends, and the next month we were friends. I did remember the mechanic situation because I was stuck in the middle of nowhere and I had no idea what to do until I remembered Alicia had offered to give me a ride if I needed one. So not only did she not hesitate to come pick me up, she also brought me sparkling water because it was really hot outside and I had been walking a lot, and she invited me over for dinner. Her kindness immediately stood out to me and I was super excited to have a potential new friend. There are a lot of other specific instances I remember where it was clear that we were not only friends, but friends in faith, if you want to call it that. The two of us were sitting in the department's graduate student lounge, the only two people in the department, so it was probably summer at that point. We were there to do work, but we ended up spending a lot of time talking about our faiths and our faith experience. There aren't a lot of people I feel 100% comfortable doing this with, though I'm getting a little bit better about it. And that's probably why this particular interaction stands out to me. It's easier to talk about faith and beliefs with someone you know isn't going to judge you and make a joke out of it. It gave us a foundation to build on, which is part of the friendship building process that I at least sometimes struggle with. So what has this meant for our faiths? While we both come from strong faith-based backgrounds, we've discovered that those backgrounds are very different. One of the more important aspects of my discussions with friends about faith has been about our differences, where those differences come from, and what they mean for our perspective, all from a very respectful standpoint. These discussions keep us in check and serve as a reminder that not everybody's faith experience is the same, and that that's okay. Alicia's friendship offered the chance to have those conversations with a fellow Christian, which, oddly enough, wasn't something I'd really experienced before. Having someone to talk to, get support and advice from, and to gain perspective from has helped me grow both as a Christian and as a person. Not only does friendship keep faith in perspective, my southern came out, sorry, it also provides connection, support, and inspiration in times of need. I was at a conference at the beginning of January, this past January, and I was feeling really out of my depth, like everyone knew more than me, and I would never make it in my field. I texted Alicia, and she immediately responded with 4 Bible verses about God's plans and having faith that everything will be okay. Not only did I have the support of a friend, but her support also connected me back to my broader church community through Scripture. For me and my faith, friendship and community weren't necessarily things I thought would be a part of my experience. It wasn't something I had in my past, and so I didn't see it being part of my future, and I didn't really see the value in it. Now I do. The connections we make help us learn about ourselves and our individual relationships with God. They help us talk about our differences in faith and reflect on them. Our connections with friends link us to a broader community and provide support when we need it.
I clearly felt like God was calling me to be in Ann Arbor for the purpose of loving and encouraging people in my department at school, but that felt so daunting and lonely at the beginning. I was so happy to make a close friend in the department who was serious about her faith, too. When conversations among grad students steer in a direction that make either of us feel uncomfortable, we know we're on each other's team, even if only silently and from across the room. That solidarity means so much to me. I was also so happy to visit this church with Haley 1 weekend last June and realize that this was the faith community I wanted to be part of during my time in Ann Arbor. My little family ended up leaving the church we had been attending since we first moved here and have been here at First Baptist since this past fall. It's been so refreshing to be part of a community that's so good at loving people and advocating for people who need it most. I've been really lucky that I was always a part of a strong church community in San Diego. My husband and I met at our church in 2005, and he was on staff for 7 years there, and it's always been a huge part of our lives. Moving away from our family and community has been really difficult, especially as new parents, and also feeling like we hadn't been able to find meaningful community in our new city. But meeting Haley and getting connected here has been such a meaningful and needed thing. And I feel like it's let me release my grip on my San Diego life a little bit and has allowed me to be more present in where I am right now, which has been a valuable lesson in trusting God to provide for my needs in each season and through each challenge.
Looking back, it's hard to think that it was only about a year ago that the two of us started talking more than just in passing. And while I'm sure we would have become friends regardless, since she's one of my best friends now, our connection through faith played a big part in our friendship in general. So I guess I'd like to finish by encouraging people to be open, specifically to friendships. It feels like we as Christians focus mostly on our relationship with God and our relationship with significant others and family, with our relationship with the world at large, how we can serve the world, which obviously is all very important to our faith. But I also feel like friendship sometimes falls by the wayside. And at least for me, in my experience, friendship can be a powerful part of our faith if we allow it to be.
We were not meant to do life alone. The Bible is full of examples of community. You've got Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in community as the Godhead. Jesus had the community of his disciples. In Acts, according to the scriptures, all the believers were together and had all things in common. Psalm 133:1 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." And finally, Romans 12:4-5 says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." We can serve and know God more fully and more personally by being invested in friendships with other believers. No matter how busy or how disconnected we may feel, it's worth it to pursue meaningful friendships so we can point one another towards Jesus.
Thank you so much for that beautiful word and for the invitation. We are all invited now to connect again to God and to each other. We're reminded that we all have something to offer. Thank you to our students for the many offerings that have already been made here this morning. If you haven't had a chance to finish filling out your connection card, now you are invited to do that. And we get to make our offerings from free hearts, open hearts, and from shared blessing. Let's make our offering. gracious and loving God, you have so loved the world. We have responded this morning with our offerings, with our hearts. Help us to respond with our whole lives. Take the offering of our lives, the gifts we have made, and this church, and make us a living sign of your love for our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beloved children of God, we have peace to share. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.